Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
8, 7.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host, the queen of soft style herself, the Twitterless heroine, the ring announcer to the stars, Miss Fancy Pants, and any other nickname I could probably come up with, but that would make this intro way too long. I am Miranda Morales. I am very excited to be with you all today. Now, this is being recorded kind of in an off cycle. We have the holidays coming up. So this is actually a Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, I mean, I could be doing other things, but probably not. I'm locking myself in a room recording a podcast, which means I'm pretty much a true wrestling fan. That's exactly what we do, on our days off, even on the days on and any day in between. Just sitting and talking about pro wrestling. So, and I think we have some great topics to cover today because we are at the end of the year. But most importantly, we just had a kick-ass Wednesday Night Wars and especially a kick-ass NXT. So we'll be talking about that in just a little bit. But before we go ahead and do that, I want to let you know that hopefully you know about thechairshot.com because you know about this podcast. But just in case you don't, you can go to thechairshot.com for all your latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yes, thechairshot.com is also on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at chairshot.com. Don't forget to use the hashtag #useyourhead. And there you can find tons of articles, news pieces, podcasts, of course, as the hashtag Miranda Show is part of the Chairshot Radio Network, along with some other amazing podcasts. But if you are looking for your source for wrestling news, go to thechairshot.com. Also, if you want to support thechairshot.com, you can buy our t-shirts. We got lots of t-shirts. If you're thinking, I need gifts to give to people, maybe it's too late to get them for Christmas. That's a personal problem you'll have to figure out. I don't know. Go get some AEW shirts at Hot Topic or something. Like, that's the next best thing I can tell you what to do. But if you are looking to support thechairshot.com, if you're looking just to get some awesome t-shirts, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. There you're going to find over 20 different t-shirt designs, all for thechairshot.com, including my own t-shirt, the Queen of Soft Style t-shirt, brand new. You can get in a variety of sizes, colors, types, including soft style. You're missing the point if you don't get the soft style t-shirt in the soft style. It does cost a few extra dollars, but that's all for you. We don't get that money. But you get that peace of mind knowing that you have a comfortable t-shirt that's stylish and that's soft. But there's also just a whole variety of other t-shirts. You can get one for every day of the week plus more. Maybe not every day of the month. Maybe if you get a few different colors, you can throw that in there for a 30-day period. It's up to you. But go ahead to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your very own chair shot t-shirt. Now, before I go into this week's topic, I got to bring in my co-host. He is the great Wizard of Oz. He is the man behind the scenes with all the buttons and the recordings and all that. But also my dear friend, Greg DeMarco. Mandy.
The great wizard.
Look, I just meant that for those of you who may not have listened, we just recorded the Greg DeMarco show earlier and had a wizard reference.
Yes.
I forget exactly
the
reference. Oh, because it was a blue. We record this using Google Hangouts.
Yes.
And you and Patrick couldn't see my face. And so it was just like the great Oz.
Which gave us the Kevin Nash reference, which then, of course, we saw Diesel cutting the promo on the Raw that we did the watch-along for, which we've never done before. So it all ties in. It all brings it back together.
It all ties in. This is, little package. You know, there's a method to this madness.
Is there? I think there is.
Oh, yeah, no, there is. That's the crazy part. That's what makes it even more maddening. There's a method to it.
This is actually done on purpose.
It's done on purpose, you guys. We're trying.
Really, really trying.
We're really, really trying.
I promise.
So, yes, I'm going to move along. But Greg, yeah. So this week, I mean, we talked a lot last week about the impending Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT. Both shows had announced commercial-free first matches. With NXT introducing that first, then AEW afterwards. And NXT, I mean, pretty much setting up almost a mini takeover, announcing two big title matches for the NXT title and for the women's title. Both shows were solid, but I mean, the results are in, and NXT killed it. Killed it.
They did.
I mean, not only just in show quality, but in ratings. So that, I think, is also another big element to our conversation today, is that NXT, for the first time in 12 weeks, which isn't a long period of time, but I think for a lot of fans, one, it feels longer than 12 weeks, and two, every week within this Wednesday Night Wars is a milestone. And maybe because we've had history before with the Monday Night Wars, but we're trying to speed up this whole war between NXT and AEW. And so at the 12-week mark, which I think maybe in the 90s would have been further down in the 30 or 40-week mark, at the 12-week mark, you have NXT getting its first ratings win over AEW. Greg is more of the numbers guy on this. So, Greg, can you tell us a little bit more about the ratings for NXT this past week or back on December 12th?
It's like you knew I pulled it up. Like, that's the crazy thing. It was the December 18th episode. I don't want to confuse people too much. Yeah, December 18th was the episode where they went head-to-head. So literally you've got December 25th coming up tonight when people are listening. Of course, it's December 21st when we record it. So NXT pulled in 795,000 viewers. AEW pulled in 683,000 viewers. So NXT had over 100,000 more viewers than NXT did. NXT also had the 18 to 49 demographic. They had a 0.27 share. AEW got a 0.29 share. So NXT did lead the way in that. And so kind of, you know, there's different headlines like you talked about before we started. The biggest one being a clean sweep. It is the first time that NXT won both things. There have been other weeks where NXT had a higher viewership, but did not have a higher rating in the demographics. And to me, that's the most telling. I mean, whatever the ratings tell us, we don't know. There's a lot of duplicate numbers in there because it just depends on when it pulls your quarter hour and what you're watching. During that quarter hour, there are people that count double. I saw one article said, you know, 1.4 million people watched wrestling on Wednesday night. I don't know if that's true. I don't believe that's true. I think there is some overlap there between the two shows, and I think that's fine. What gets me is that in the past, we have made the argument that, you know, a lot of people are watching AEW live and watching NXT later because it gets put on the WWE Network. And they can just watch it on the WWE Network, which they already have a membership to. And that a lot of times was, you know, one point, and it's also available on Hulu the next, you know, that next day as well. So a lot of different ways to watch NXT. Now we're in a spot that despite all the different ways to watch NXT, and despite the fact that there's really only one way to watch AEW, NXT is beating AEW in that one way that you have to watch AEW. And so while that was a great excuse for NXT before, now that excuse makes, to me, it makes it look worse for AEW because they're losing in their one medium, plus people still have other ways to watch NXT after the fact. So I think it's a little concerning. I mean, if I were AEW, I don't know if I'd be concerned, but I think I would definitely take, you know, they're off this week. It might be regroup time and just kind of figure out what's next. Because I don't know.
Well, yeah, and we talked about this last week. Yeah, I think that this is a sign that, I mean, even though it's the end of the year and NXT will be on a little bit of a break, they have to build back the momentum. But it's only been 12 weeks. Again, it may feel a lot longer than it really has, but that's not a whole lot of time. And for NXT to come up and surpass AEW in the ratings and with key demographics in just 12 weeks is a sign that NXT absolutely knows what they're doing and they are in it for the long haul. They're not only, AEW in the ratings, but they're also there to give WWE another platform on Wednesday nights to give these wrestlers another platform. And it's catching up because people are tuning in. And I think a lot of that was because of the two championship matches that happened. But a lot of the momentum and a lot of what people are talking about is the ending of NXT on Wednesday. And we'll go into that shortly. But that's also key to their storytelling. It's key to the momentum that they built upon Survivor Series. So they've been really able to build up to this. And if they've been able to build up to this in just, 12 weeks, imagine what they're going to do in a whole year. So I, too, as both companies, would really take some time now to regroup and plan for 2020. 2020 can be a really great year for wrestling, continue to be a great year for wrestling. But it also gives both companies a whole year of programming that they have to build up to. And of course, there's things that you can't always plan for and predict, but we may continue to see this go back and forth, or we may be able to see NXT continue to build on this momentum and continue to be AEW in the ratings. So it's smart for AEW to take some time now to plan out and really think about it, then maybe get caught with this later on and maybe even underestimate what NXT can do.
And it's really interesting, and you made a great point that I think can't be understated. What, the whole Survivor Series build and it played out in front of the entire WWE universe, the Raw audience, the SmackDown audience, and the NXT audience. I think there's a lot to do with the growth of NXT and the growth of its ratings and where we sit today, because people saw people that they weren't used to, and they saw talent and things that they haven't seen before, and I think that did cause some people to flip over and tune in. So I do think that's that. Yeah, 2020 is going to be an interesting year for both NXT and AEW, because they sort of laid the groundwork and AEW came out hot out the gate, and then NXT caught up and passed them a little bit. And now we're kind of setting the table for 2020. I'm going to be interested to see what they do. And I'm still waiting for that first shoe to drop. And I think the first shoe to drop to me, I guess, is when talent moves from one to the other. And will someone jump to AEW? Is there a contract coming up? I don't know. Rumor-wise, the only one we can think of is the Revival. But, Luke Harper, when he shows up on AEW, probably sometime in March, is that going to be a big deal? I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to move the needle very much. I mean, maybe initially, but enough to make a long-term impact on ratings and visibility? Probably not.
Yeah, like Luke Harper didn't do anything in 2019.
Not with the casual fan. The hardcore fan is going to be there no matter what. but you're trying to now bring in more of the casual fan or the lapsed fan. And right now, I don't really see anybody as far as contract-wise that's going to help move the needle. I think both companies really, what they need to focus on more is building the people that they have, two stars that fans care about.
But that's hard because if you look at how did WCW beat WWF at the time, eventually WWE, it wasn't with homegrown stars. It was with people jumping ship and kind of getting that shock value. And yeah, you can build your own stars in AEW, but is that going to be enough to get people to tune in? Like, you know, when Conan O'Brien comes back on the air on Turner Networks, are you going to throw AEW talent on there to get them over and try to pull in people? Like, what can you do if you're AEW to take your home ground stars and get them over with a mainstream audience? I just don't know. I don't know how you make that connection when you don't really have the outlet to do so. Something I found very interesting, there's been all this talk about people signing new contracts, and Randy Orton signed a new five-year contract, and the New Day each signed a brand new five-year contract, and it was a big deal because they all signed for the same amount, like it was this whole solidarity thing. And then Dana Brooke reveals that she signs a new five-year contract, and I'm not here to make fun of Dana Brooke and whether or not she needed a five-year contract, but the one thing all these contracts have in common is the length. They're all five-year contracts, and it makes me wonder, is WWE kind of putting a five-year shelf life on AEW? Like, do they think that all these five-year deals are going to outlast how long they think AEW is going to be around?
It's a good question because the length of their contracts in the past seem to have varied. And some of it, when you're actually a bigger star, you have more flexibility to have a shorter contract. Whereas if you're more of a mid-card or a lower level, you have a lengthier contract. Is that also a sign, though, that if you're a bigger star, you realize that maybe your own shelf life within WWE isn't really 5 years? That maybe you only need 2 years to evaluate things and then have an out? So not necessarily answering your question, because I don't care, but it's more of looking at it from a different perspective.
That's what a good friend does.
I will
does.
Answer your question.
That's what a good friend does right there. I don't care about your stupid question.
That's what a good friend does. But I think your question just made me think more about, you know, to me, maybe it's not as much as how long WWE thinks what the shelf life of AEW is, especially if you're a veteran, do you know that really most people don't have a full 5 years worth of a career? And maybe that's also why a lot of people are looking into their releases, that maybe you'll have a solid 2 to 3 years, but maybe you'll spend part of that on the shelf, or maybe it's either in the beginning, in the end, or in the middle, where you spend maybe a year or two with a lot of good momentum, and then creative has nothing for you and you're sitting on the shelf for another year or two, and then leading people to want to leave early. So, and that's why some veterans like a Rey Mysterio have only signed 2 year deals, because they know that, you know, really the lifespan, the cycle of a good program or right now a wrestler is only that long. And then maybe you have the chance to leave and then come back, because what, if you don't leave, we can't miss you. But going back to your original question, I don't think that. I think it's the company wanting to keep people under contract. Maybe there is an element that they don't want them to necessarily leave to go to any other place, including an AEW. It's five is a solid number. It's long enough where they'll have time to, you know, build them up or be able to have them to work. It's sustainability for wrestlers to know that they have at least, you know, five years. It's something that they can plan around. But it's an interesting thought process. It's an interesting idea that they may think this company is only going to last 5 years. One, granted, with how much money they're not making right now, because they aren't. And if you're probably looking at long-term projections, they're not going to be making money for at least another year or two. Maybe in year three is when they're actually going to start seeing more income come in. And at that point, if year three hits and they're not making money, maybe they're running on fumes for year four and then eventually year five, you know, is that where we see doors shutting? I can understand that thought process behind it, but I don't think that's the main motivator, to be honest.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens and what they do and where they go, because their TV deal is 2 years, and so there's that factor in it. So when the TV deal comes up, do they get another one? Do they have to move? Because that would suck, you know, for them to have to go on a new network and build new habits out of people. I hope not. I think they've delivered good enough ratings.
We've seen it with Impact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it with Impact having to move to network after network after network and losing viewership because of that. I mean, I don't know if the viewership has quite been the same since they left Spike and moving to some random networks. They finally found to have some stability with Access. And that's also a testament to Access now being built also a bit around wrestling, that you have New Japan and WOW and now Impact, that now they're being known as a channel for professional wrestling, which if we were to have thought about that a year ago, probably wouldn't have been a thing. But we've seen what it's like when a promotion has to move networks. So I can imagine how much challenging it would be. And if they were to leave TNT, I don't know if they could find another big name network. So this, I think, is going to be the biggest that they're going to be at this point, and to lose out or for any reason not be able to continue and have to find another network. I just don't think they're going to find a bigger one than TNT.
No, I don't think they can. And looking at their ratings, I mean, they're drawing, you know, even this week with the 683,000 viewers and the 0.25 rating, it puts them in the top 30, which is good. And usually not something that TNT did on a weekly basis before AEW was there. So I think that possibility exists for them to come out and be a part of it. The issue they run into is what they're going to get, because financially, right now they're not making a ton of money. Some of the production costs are covered, but they're not collecting a rights fee for TNT. Obviously, that would need to change for them in the future, because you want to build the audience, but you also got to make money. And here's the crazy: Shad Khan's a billionaire, and he owns multiple businesses, and he, you know, runs sports franchises and all of that. He would have no problem pulling the plug if they don't get a good TV deal, if they don't get whatever. Like, this is, it's not as important to Shad Khan and the Khan family as it is to all of us as wrestling fans, and there wouldn't be this surge. Like, he would have no problem being like, oh, no TV deal, not getting this and that, we're going to move on from it. Like, to him, it's nothing. It's literally nothing for him to move on from AEW and continue to focus on his other business interests. Whereas WWE, outside of the XFL, they don't have the other business interests. Like, it's just WWE. So it's there, you know, is the ownership in it for the long haul? Who knows? And we don't know the answer to that question. So could be interesting to see. That's years down the road.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. But also, too, I think ratings-wise, cable and network TV is in a very different situation, because you have outlets like Hulu and Amazon and Netflix. Even just looking in kind of a related but unrelated topic, the Emmy nominations that came out, I believe, a week or two ago, where a majority of the shows nominated were from streaming services. And even though that doesn't necessarily have a direct correlation on ratings, it is something that I think TV or networks and cable shows or networks are taking a look at and realizing that their viewership overall is lower because you have competing services. So the state of television in general is very different. And so when you look at TNT and compare AEW to maybe the numbers that WCW was pulling in during the peak of the Monday Night Wars, even at the end of the Monday Night Wars, we also live in a very different time where television is in a very different state. And there's so many more options out there that viewership is completely split. So I think that they're probably fairly happy with the viewership and the ratings. Like you said, too, being in the top 30 for Wednesday night is probably a good thing. And they could probably slip a bit and still be fine. I think it's just trying to figure out from the network's perspective what will be considered too low. And if they're also not paying for a lot of it right now, it's not a huge investment that they may keep it going. And that should be something, too, that AEW would have to take a look at. Is it going to be worth eating the cost of being on network television if they don't get paid to just remain being on network television, or do they have to then decide we need to find a home or we need to renegotiate so that we can make money? Then knowing that there's probably more stakes on the line when it comes to being sustainable and being and remaining on TV, there's going to be probably a higher commitment and need for ratings. So kind of pros and cons, give and take. But quickly, I really do want to go over the NXT show from this past week, starting off with Adam Cole and Finn Balor. My boyfriend, Finn Balor, versus your boyfriend, Adam Cole. Yes, you heard that right, listeners. That's literally how our conversations go when we talk about Finn Balor versus Adam Cole. Adam Cole is indeed Greg DeMarco's boyfriend. Yes, Greg just loves Adam Cole.
So I do.
Dreamy. He literally, and I know I've mentioned this before, but he has been your man crush Mondays multiple times.
He has been, I mean, it goes back to like the first time we ever interviewed the guy. And then the second time we ever interviewed the guy. Like, it's just, the second time especially because he was a heel, but could not be a heel on the air. He was just too nice of a person. We even asked him, and he just, you know, it was my character, whatever. And he was in Ring of Honor at the time. But, he's just, you know, that's why I say he's the best wrestler.
And you love those dreamy NXT promo pics of him. Like, ever since he's gotten an NXT, and his promo pictures have been on fire. And that's literally just on Greg's wall, like his phone wall, his laptop wall, his actual wall. instead of framed photos of his family, it's just pictures of Adam Cole with a kind of a sultry, you know, deep look in his eyes. I mean,
there's Adam Cole and there's everybody else. And look, Finn Balor is very talented. You know,
very talented.
You know, great look, great everything. And you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with coming in second to Adam Cole. It just isn't. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Like, because there's no beating him. There's no coming in first. So you might as well be happy with second place, because in this case, second place is not the first loser. Second place is actually the winner, because Adam Cole shouldn't even be in the race. The race is just to be behind Adam Cole. Like, that's just what it means to be Adam Cole. Like, if we do, oh my god, so we joked about, you know, every year we do the Chair Shot Tag Team of the Year, Woman of the Year, and Man of the Year, and we may do that next week on the Shit Show. I mean, this could be fun. That could be a really fun argument and conversation.
Adam Cole just sweeps the ChairShot.com award.
The Tag Team of the Year.
Tag Team of the Year. Woman of the Year. Newcomer of the Year. Independent Wrestler of the Year.
Female Wrestler of the Year. Show of the Year. I don't even know. Like, I can't even come up with any other ones. Yeah.
Moment of the Year. Match of the Year.
Move of the Year.
Well, going to the match, Adam Cole, Finn Balor, and I believe, Greg, I mean, not to feed the ego, but apparently I am. You had talked about this last week as far as how you thought this match was going to end, which was somehow someone interfering in this match so that both individuals came out looking fairly strong.
Right.
In this case, Johnny Gargano appeared. He first arrived on the stage. The distracting allowed Cole to sneak in a low blow and then go into the last shot for the win. From there, Johnny grabbed a chair, smashed Finn Balor with it, you know, some kind of revenge. And it brings Johnny Gargano back into both the title picture, but also a feud with Finn Balor. So both men looked incredible in this. Both ended up still fairly strong, and it was a creative way to bring Gargano back into the picture He had been out for a few weeks. And it allows for a lot of room for creativity in 2020 with where does Gargano come in? Is he going to be a number one contender? Is he going to go up against Adam Cole, or does he go through Finn Balor first? And that's kind of where my gut goes, is he's going to go up against Finn Balor first and then Adam Cole, possibly winning the belt from him. We talked a lot too last week about, you know, what happens with Adam Cole. I mean, he's had that belt now for quite a while. What does this mean for him in the future? And Lou too, as well, with the Undisputed Era, you came up with a few good scenarios about the Undisputed Era just continuing their dominance as a faction, but also the possibility of them turning on Adam Cole, whether it was Finn Balor leading them or just the Undisputed Era just being on their own, and then Cole, being a baby face, kind of a pure baby face scenario. But overall, I mean, this was a really good way to start the show and bring in Johnny Gargano back into the picture. I think too, it did help, not necessarily close a chapter, but it helped with being able to see what has been built up between Cole and Balor for the past few weeks. And I mean, they could go at it any time and seemingly have a fantastic match. I'm glad that both ended up looking fairly strong. I think that was a concern, especially for Finn Balor coming back to NXT. He didn't look very weak. I mean, that distraction happened, and again, it allows him to now feud rightfully with Gargano, who kind of then, you know, took his opportunity or interfered with his opportunity for the NXT title.
Yeah, we got to remember, and we pointed this out last week, but it's so easy to lose sight of it in the moment. This was a midpoint in two different feuds. This is a midpoint in Finn Balor versus Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole building towards Tommaso Ciampa. And so it was a great match. It was a takeover main event worthy match that they put on. I mean, take the ending away, because you never end the takeover main event that way. But leading up to that point, this was a takeover worthy match that they put on with two guys who, of course, can deliver a takeover. You know, they've main evented takeovers themselves, multiple takeovers. And the finish notwithstanding, because it was on TV, that was done to continue the feud between Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano, which it should. We need to continue that feud. That's the feud that we were in. It's, you know, we're going to continue Adam Cole and Tommaso Ciampa when we come back in the new year. So that's, we're going to stay that course, just like they've done on Raw and SmackDown with different feuds they're doing to kind of interlude in the middle of other feuds. So it does make perfect sense that they did that the way they did that, but obviously some different paths are going to cross. I mean, who knows? At the end of next year, we could be seeing Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano finally finishing their thing off over the NXT Championship. Who knows? There's so much more that can happen between now and then, but in the end, it did make sense. I don't think Balor should have lost clean. It is his first loss in NXT since coming back, but it wouldn't have made sense for him to lose clean. Cole being the dominant champion is interesting to me because, look, we just came off of, you know, from April of 2018 until this past Wednesday, a week ago when you're listening to this, of basically, save for a couple of months there, a dominant Shayna Baszler as women's champion. I don't think you could do that with Adam Cole and the NXT Championship because, let's face it, Shayna Baszler dominated the women's division during a time where they had to rebuild the women's division in NXT. The men's division in NXT is just overridden with talent, and you've got guys, people like Keith Lee. It's like, what do you do with them? Do you put the North American title on him and have Kyle and Roddy team if Bobby Fish can't go still? Like, what do you, you know, now we got to rebuild the tag division, which they're going to do with the Dusty Rhodes Classic to start off next year, which I think is a very smart idea. They're just in a point now where the men's division is just full of talent, and so eventually something's got to give, and usually it's by moving championships around. And Roddy hasn't done a ton as North American champion, largely because of the injury to Velveteen Dream. But yeah, there's a lot of variables out there that are really going to make 2020 quite interesting for the NXT Championship and the Undisputed Era. And of course, Adam Cole.
Speaking Speaking of going into 2020, and something that you just alluded to, I'm going to jump ahead. There was other matches that happened this past week. A lot of them really good. A lot of them setting some people up for the future. But really, this was a two-match show, the beginning and the end. And as we correctly predicted, the show was headlined by Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley. And again, talking about building a story, I mean, this one had been built up for weeks. And to have this headlined an NXT show where this could have easily headlined a takeover, in some ways, I think some fans thought it was a little bit of a injustice or disservice that it didn't. But based off of what this helped set up, this was the right time to do it. So going into the match was fairly standard until you had Marina Shafir and Jessamine Duke come in to distract Rhea Ripley towards the middle of the match. This allowed Shayna Baszler to utilize that distraction and stomp Rhea Ripley's hand into the steel steps. The horsewoman Marina Shafir and Jessamine Duke continued to attack Ripley until the referee threw them out, ejected them from ringside. But there was still some visible damage to Rhea Ripley throughout the match. And then there was a spot where the referee went down just before Rhea did the riptide. After the referee recovered, Shayna Baszler planted a steel chair on Ripley, but the challenger kicked out. Shayna tried to use the Kurfita clutch, and then Ripley just coming out of there, you know, hulking out of that move, and then countered eventually with the riptide to win the NXT Women's Championship. And the celebration afterward was of, you know, legendary proportions. It somewhat reminded me of Mick Foley winning his first title. And I think the time of year was fairly similar, I think it was recorded about close to the same time period. But everyone coming into the ring, I mean, Rhea Ripley just standing tall. And this really, I mean, a chapter closing for Shayna Baszler, another one opening for Rhea Ripley. And this is something big to end 2019 with, moving into 2020. And so I think it was the right time. I mean, again, a lot of people thought this could have been a takeover pay-per-view main event. It definitely could have. But with what this seemingly tries to set up for 2020, it was the right time to do it. Shayna had a very dominant run as NXT Women's Champion. I think she added a lot of validity to the title, to her career. And ultimately now people are just wondering what is next for Shayna Baszler. And I think a lot of that revolves around the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble. That seems to be, you know, the trajectory that a lot of people have her going on. But I'm curious, Greg, if that's, you know, what do you think about the women's match and also what this means for both Shayna and Rhea for the upcoming year?
We have a little treat for the people listening in terms of the women's match.
Doing their best to rally Rhea Ripley using her head. Oh, Ripley now. Second turnbuckle.
Oh my God.
Ripley about to deliver an avalanche riptide. The tide has turned. Oh, yes.
Here is your winner.
It's funny, Rhea Ripley's theme song sounds like it should be the theme song for an old episode of Raw. I just realized that as I was listening to that. Like, I'm like, it's a beautiful people. Match was great, definitely deserving of that main event spot. It made sense, you know, the opener had the outside interference. This one had the outside interference, and then not, you know, the outside interference didn't factor into the finish of the Women's Championship match, so it was kind of that false, which WWE does so well. It's that WWE main event style, which has bled over to NXT, but you had the feel-good moment that everybody wanted. You had Rhea Ripley going over, like we predicted last week on your show, and here we are, and it did come true. Rhea Ripley is your new NXT Women's Champion. Great moment, crowning achievement. I think, yeah, sure, it could have been a TakeOver main event. Could have happened on a TakeOver. We're in a different world now where TV matters for NXT when it didn't so much matter before. And if you think about it, the episode of NXT where Rhea Ripley becomes the NXT Women's Champion is the episode that NXT swept both major categories in the ratings, the viewership and the demographic against AEW. So there is that. On the same token, you know, looking forward to the future, I don't know that we could have waited till TakeOver to do this match. Because TakeOver's in February. And on February 16th, might be somebody's birthday. And that, you know, points itself. I don't know. It's not yours because I know when your birthday is because, you know, well.
Because I'm a Leo. That's why. I lie, I cheat,
I steal. But it does put us in a position where I don't know if we could have waited until February 16th, 2020 in Portland at TakeOver to do this match because there's a Royal Rumble that happens in January. And as I wrote on thechairshot.com and as I've said before on these airwaves, I think Shayna Baszler's winning that Royal Rumble match. And I think she's using that to move over to Raw and challenge Becky Lynch for the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania. I think it's what they set up at Survivor Series. I think it's where we're headed. I think that's the obvious place to head. And I think it's the right place to head. I think the timing is right. Shayna Baszler strikes me as a person to lose a championship and then move on from NXT. There's not a whole lot else she can do there that would enhance her and put her in a higher position. She could feud with people and elevate others, but then it would just be more losing for Shayna. And I'm not saying I'm against Shayna losing, although she literally lost twice in 2019, and we saw both of them, and they were both in the hands of Rhea Ripley. She lost in Survivor Series, or she lost in War Games to Rhea Ripley, and then she lost on NXT to Rhea Ripley. That's meaningful, and that means something especially for Rhea Ripley over on NXT. I think it's time for Shayna Baszler. You know, we still use the phrase moving up to the main roster and moving up to Raw and SmackDown, and I think that element is still there within WWE, but I do think it's time. I think it's time for that change of scenery for Shayna Baszler. I think it's time for her to excel on that scale, the larger audience. It still is a bigger audience for Raw and for SmackDown, and I think she's also the perfect opponent for Becky Lynch. Like,
yes,
the whole,
absolutely.
What they're doing with Becky Lynch's character right now, I loved when Becky Lynch talked about, you know, she's the biggest star in the company and they're trying to protect her like she's the biggest star in the company, but she doesn't want to be protected. She wants Asuka because that's the last person to really beat Becky Lynch.
Yes.
It was Asuka at Royal Rumble 2019, which we saw and we were there for. Now we move to Royal Rumble 2020. It makes perfect sense for them to do that rematch and for Becky to avenge that loss before she moves on to Shayna Baszler. Sometimes predictable is good, and if this is predictable, then I think it's good.
An interesting thing that NXT has done in the past, especially with the women's title, is that even if the previous champion has moved on to the main roster, the previous champion will come back to do a rematch for the title, usually lose, and then that's kind of their final send-off. In the case of the timeline, so if we are predicting that Shayna Baszler goes to the Royal Rumble and wins, the next NXT TakeOver pay-per-view happening is in February. Does that rematch happen after the Royal Rumble? Does she lose? And I guess that's the tricky part, is that that probably wouldn't happen because there's no way that you'll have the Women's Royal Rumble winner lose in between that time, at least on in an NXT environment, to the NXT Women's Champion. So that goes back to, then maybe does the rematch happen before the Royal Rumble, after the, do we see a rematch at all?
I don't think we do. I don't, unless we get it on TV, you know, after the first of the year, I just don't see the rematch making sense. I mean, it has to be before the Royal Rumble. Once the Royal Rumble, if Shayna Baszler is going to win the Royal Rumble, now that could be totally wrong about that. If Shayna Baszler wins the Royal Rumble, let's make that assumption, then the rematch cannot happen after she wins the Royal Rumble match, because you can't have her losing. Because if she's going to beat Becky Lynch, let's just say, you can't have her losing to Rhea Ripley before she then beats Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. If she's going to lose,
this could be a credible opponent against Becky Lynch in general. She won't. She shouldn't lose.
Yeah. If she's going to lose to Becky Lynch, that would also further derail or kind of demote or whatever. I don't know. Becky Lynch's victory over her if she just loses again to real. Like, once she wins the Women's Royal Rumble match, she can't lose until the Becky Lynch match unless she loses through some kind of nefarious means. And you don't want to do that in her big rematch against Rhea Ripley. So if they're going to do it, they've got to do it before the Royal Rumble, which they could. They've got plenty of time to pull that off on NXT television before the Royal Rumble takes place. But if we get to the Royal Rumble and that rematch hasn't happened, I don't think it's going to happen. Unless she's really not winning the Rumble, which, again, is totally possible. It's just my prediction that she's going to win the Royal
Rumble. I mean, it is. When you think about the Women's Royal Rumble, there's some other competitors, primarily a Charlotte Flair, that a lot of people could easily say. I mean, we thought she was going to win the 2019 Royal Rumble because it was just her and Becky. So Charlotte could easily be.
Becky wasn't supposed to be in the match. Like, at the time, Becky wasn't in the match.
At the time, she wasn't even supposed to be in the match. I mean, it took us months to get over this conversation, Greg. I'm not having it again. Some people were this was a point of conversation throughout 2019 about, you know, Finley having a lot of sway, carried a lot of weight if he could have Becky put into the Rumble match that she wasn't supposed
The end result was still the same. That wasn't always going to be a triple threat match, but for the most period of time, it was going to be the triple threat match, whether it was Charlotte winning the Rumble and Becky getting added or Becky winning the Rumble. Look, what we wouldn't have gotten had Charlotte won the Rumble and Becky had to fight her way in, which I still think is a better storyline, we wouldn't have Vince McMahon just proclaiming that Charlotte Flair is in the match, which is just still one of my favorite moments of 2019. Vince McMahon being like, Becky Lynch is this, she can't wrestle, so we're going to have Charlotte Flair. Like, that was just one of my favorite moments of 2019, was when Vince is just like, nope, put Charlotte in. So,
now, out of curiosity, do we see another triple threat match for the women's title? Because that's been something that we've seen now for the past few years. We have not had a single women's title match at WrestleMania. Last year it was because you had the momentum of Becky, you had Charlotte, and then you also had Ronda Rousey. This year, I don't think, or for 2020, I don't think anything calls for a triple threat. But do you see that being a possibility, you know, throwing a maybe possibly an Asuka if that storyline continues, or a Charlotte, you know, is that a possibility?
I'll be honest with you, until you asked the question, I hadn't even considered the triple threat match as a possibility. And I could see Charlotte getting put into that, and I addressed on an article over at chairshot.com what I think they're going to do with Charlotte for WrestleMania. 34, you had Charlotte and Asuka, and you had Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. One of those matches was great. One of them was Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. But I didn't, you know, obviously didn't love that one. And then, of course, last year's WrestleMania, you had the triple threat match and you had the women's tag match and everyone else was in the Battle Royal. I do think, I don't think Charlotte would get put into that match. I do think it would be, I think we would get separate matches for the SmackDown Women's Championship and the Raw Women's Championships. By the way, we didn't talk about it. I still hate the fact that those are the names of those titles. Doesn't make me happy, but that's another topic for another time. But I do think that we could see, I think Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch would get a one-on-one match. I don't think, unless Ronda Rousey were to come back, and then maybe they would do Ronda versus Charlotte as a belt, you know, a match with no championship at stake. But to me, I don't think you add Charlotte Flair to that match. I think she'll be involved in the tag titles somehow. And then, of course, I don't know what they'll do on SmackDown. I could see maybe multiple women getting involved with the SmackDown Women's Championship and that being your multi-woman match. But if they do Baszler and Becky, I think it's just going to be those two.
Yes, I can. I mean, yes, they they hypothetically could, but I would really love for them to just be the two of them. I think that they have enough of a storyline built around just the two of them where they could carry a match just with them. And it would be entertaining and it would be hard hitting. And I agree. Shayna Baszler is just the right competitor for Becky Lynch at this time. We saw some of the backlash that happened when Becky's first competitor outside of WrestleMania was Lacey Evans. And I think it's because not necessarily just of the inexperience, but I know some fans would argue that that was a big reason, but just when you look at the person, when you look at the character that, especially coming out of WrestleMania where you had Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, I mean, those were some hard hitting competitors. I mean, some of the rewinds for 2019, some that I've completely forgot, were Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey kicking the shit out of each other in the back of a cop car. You know, like that was...
Which was such a great moment. Such a great moment.
So good. But it was, you know, hard-hitting women's wrestling. And to go from that to matches with Lacey Evans, it just wasn't a good flow, was it? And so I think that's also why people are excited against her and Asuka, because you're getting that hard-hitting women's wrestling. Same thing with her and Shayna Baszler. Absolutely. I mean, that is someone who can stand toe-to-toe with Becky. Incredibly talented, incredibly gifted. And really, too, that mixed martial arts background for Shayna Baszler, I mean, really makes her that much more unpredictable as well. So
I do want to
go ahead.
I just want to add one thing in too. We were talking about with Becky Lynch and the year she had. That WrestleMania main event match had so much outside involvement in the build. You had all the McMahons get involved. You had Charlotte, you had Ronnie, all that stuff. In my opinion, at this point in her career, at this point in her stardom, she, you know, based on different things we've seen, you could easily call her the second biggest star in the company. I think Becky Lynch deserves the opportunity to build a one-on-one match for WrestleMania without all the other extracurriculars. I think Becky Lynch deserves to be the champion who the Royal Rumble winner challenges, and those two are the ones that build it. Nothing else. No other shenanigans, no other games, no other McMahons, no other anything. Becky is a big enough star to build a WrestleMania. It probably wouldn't be the main event, but to build a marquee WrestleMania match on her own. And I think Shayna Baszler is the right opponent to do it with.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And maybe, you know, they still were hesitant with pushing Becky. And a lot of people had a lot of comparisons between Becky's push and run compared to Daniel Bryan, and some of the same type of feedback regarding the involvement of the McMahons, and even kind of copying some of that tone that the McMahon set with Becky not being good enough, not being even healthy enough to have some correlation with Daniel Bryan and bringing some of those feelings back. But she's ready now. I mean, hell, they built around her for the past year. She's on the cover of a freaking video game. She's her press and publicity has been, you know, skyrocketing. So absolutely could she do this on her own, and completely agree that Shayna's the absolute right person to do this. So this gets me very excited about, you know, not only the Royal Rumble, but also WrestleMania. And going back to Shayna, too, I mean, the way that they set her up for Survivor Series, beating both Becky, technically Becky and Bayley, even though Bayley was the one who got pinned, I mean, really also set up Shayna as a very viable competitor. I mean, this will be likely the first, and God knows when the next time they may do this, someone from NXT coming into the Rumble and winning it. As the Women's Rumble is still a fairly new concept, but I doubt that we'll see that again for a very long time, having someone come straight from NXT into the Rumble and winning it. So, one, I do think that that's good business for NXT, setting it up as a really viable, not even just third, but just additional brand. But also, again, I mean, they've set Shayna up beautifully just through her dominance in NXT, through Survivor Series, and now I'm sure with a really dominant performance in the Royal Rumble, that it just gets me very excited about the growth of the women's division in 2020. I think there were a lot of questions after WrestleMania with, you know, when Ronda left and Becky maybe not having the strongest programs of WrestleMania, even things like the Superstar Shakeup and people jumping to other brands. But it makes me very excited and confident that the women's division for both NXT and the main roster are going to continue to thrive and be strong. Real quick, we talked a lot about Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch. What is next for Rhea Ripley? I mean, now she is this crown successor in the NXT women's division, and that carries a lot of weight and responsibility. I absolutely think Rhea Ripley will be able to maintain that, to continue to be a pillar of the women's division. We've seen people be built up. In the case of some heels, you have Io Shirai, who continues just to be a fantastic heel. I mean, and still just a menace and a threat. Dakota Kai has been reported to be injured, but her heel turn, I mean, really has done wonders for her career. But you also have, you know, people who have been in the title scene before and could easily step in, like a Bianca Belair. Candice LeRae, you know, she's been built up to be a great babyface. Maybe not at this point directly in line, but could easily be. I mean, there's still definitely some excitement within the women's division, and a lot because they've built up these other women to be really viable, strong competitors, but also now contenders for the NXT Women's Championship. Who do you think is going to be in line coming up in 2020?
I think the first challenger is going to be Io Shirai. Io Shirai has been showcased a lot on NXT television, winning not squash matches, but kind of those glorified squash matches, beating people week after week. And I do think it's setting up for Io Shirai versus Rhea Ripley. And I'm excited about that because I love me some Io Shirai, and I think that's going to be a great match. Yes. It's probably going to be our takeover match in February, since I don't think Shayna Baszler is going to be available for that. Maybe she will. Who knows? But I think Io Shirai is the perfect first opponent for Rhea Ripley. The way they've built Rhea Ripley and the way they've built her character, I don't know if we're in for I kind of feel like, at least what they've told me seems to indicate another long women's champion out of Rhea Ripley. Like Rhea Ripley, and it could even be the kind of championship that maybe you turn a little bit during the reign because, I don't know, or she could lose because someone cheats to beat her and then she wins it back. Like she could be a two-time champion as well. I could see that happening. But Rhea Ripley is a dominant style champion. Like say it was Candice LeRae who beat Shayna Baszler. You could see LeRae holding it for a takeover or two and then losing it and moving on from the championship. But Rhea Ripley feels like a commitment. Like they built her through War Games, through Survivor Series, and mm-hmm. she is the only person to beat Shayna Baszler this entire year. Like if she were just to lose at random sometime by next summer, it seems wasted. I feel like we're in for another long run as women's champion in NXT, but this time with Rhea Ripley.
And that's not a bad thing. I still think that you can have a strong women's division, even though she may go through some of these other women, you know, multiple times. But again, too, it still is building up to some good programming. Like I said, you know, Bianca Belair, she's had multiple opportunities for the NXT Women's Championship, but I'd still think of her as a competitor, as a number one contender again, because she continues to have fantastic matches. She continues to have this growth, and I'm not tired of seeing her in that spot. In somewhat of a similar situation from many years ago, that's very much of the story of a Bayley who had multiple opportunities and kept failing, and finally got to a point in her career where she said, "I'm buckling down. I'm going to do this." And I could see Bianca Belair absolutely having a story like that in the future. And I'd love to see her as NXT Women's Champion. And I don't know if she would beat Rhea for it, or if she would, you know, as maybe a heel gets it from Rhea, and then that heel then loses it to Bianca Belair. But I could definitely see a storyline like that with Bianca Belair. And she is somewhat of a tweener because of, you know, her involvement with the heel team at War Games, but then also on the NXT team for Survivor Series. So she could be, I think her character is very fluid, but I ultimately see her as a babyface, and as athletic and talented as she is, she still has almost an underdog element to her that she can build up into just a beautiful, beautiful story where after time, attempt after attempt, working hard, she can really, you know, build into a fantastic NXT Women's Champion. So I foresee that hopefully in 2020, maybe 2021, but I think it could happen in 2020 for Bianca.
Question for you, just to get your opinion on this. If Rhea Ripley cycles through Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, Bianca Belair, Mia Yim, is it bad that she's just fighting the same people that Shayna and just beating the same people that Shayna Baszler beat?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so. Just because it's going to be from a different perspective, and it will be a different type of win. Because I think, too, there was that element with Shayna Baszler where you had Jessamyn Duke and Shafir, you know, both helping her kind of through devious means. I see that Rhea Ripley is going to be doing it through kind of more of that face style, you know, just through some pure dominance. So I think that will make these matches just have a different feel to it. And ultimately, too, you know, you just have that roster there. I also love this plug and play type of feel with a lot of these women, is that you can kind of mix and match them and you still have really great matches. And I think that's what people loved about the original Four Horsewomen in NXT, is that they had a lot of, you know, mixed matches between them, and they were all fairly different. And I think that got fans really excited, and because we don't see that as much on the main roster, when they do go up against each other, there's differences every time they wrestle. So no, I don't think it's going to get too tired or repetitive or old, because I think that all of these matches are actually going to be pretty different.
I think that's fair. I think it is that there's a lot of value in that. Plus, if you look at how the quote-unquote main roster works, right? You have a lot of that. You have a lot of, you know, same challengers that step up all the time, and that's just a factor of weekly television and monthly pay-per-views, and keeping talent in NXT for longer as you build that brand. You're going to have to do that. You can't always have brand new people coming through, you know. Caden Carter's not going to be ready to challenge for the NXT championship anytime soon, you know, and she's a great talent. She's going to be a future champion, but she's not there yet, but you have established stars who are perfect for Rhea Ripley. So, yeah, I think it's. I don't have a problem with it. I just kind of wanted to get your perspective on it, because I think that you have to use that kind of storytelling now in NXT. Same with all the championships in NXT. So, yeah, I'm on board with it. I think those are some great challengers, and you're right. It's a completely different match with Rhea Ripley, and I think it'll be very entertaining. Very entertaining. And that's what matters the most in the end. Do we enjoy it? And Rhea Ripley, for the most part, save for one or two, puts on incredibly enjoyable, entertaining, hard-hitting, believable matches. And she's going to do it with all those people.
And to kind of close off this point, too, and what this also means for NXT as a whole, WWE has pointed out that she is the first NXT UK and the first NXT Women's Champion. So this also builds a lot of crossover to NXT UK. And I know that right now they only have shows here and there, but that also means that we could see Rhea Ripley at an NXT UK show, whether it's just to have a one-off match to help tie in things with NXT on the home front. But that's also just a great bridge to have, and something that I think means that they're taking Rhea Ripley seriously as a future superstar. That gets me very interested in seeing, again, what the relationship between NXT UK and NXT will be. Maybe there is more interaction. I would love that. I think it's a beautiful bridge that they should build. But also, I mean, when you make history, it's usually a good thing for your career. It usually means that they're going to, you know, put the shit behind you. So I only foresee amazing things coming out of Rhea Ripley. And, you know, Shayna Baszler, all of the NXT women's division. I'm very excited overall for the direction of the women's division in WWE for 2020.
You know, it's funny. They wouldn't do this, but I couldn't help but think about this. NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2 is on January 12th, 2020. And they already have 5 matches set for it, so they probably won't change it. But not a bad spot if you want to throw Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley on a random card. I mean, you know, do the rematch in the UK. That would be a nice nod to the UK audience and the UK crowd. And I'll be honest with you, Walter versus Joe Coffey is not the most exciting main event for a takeover. If you want to let Rhea Ripley and Shayna Baszler main event a takeover, let a main event takeover UK Blackpool. Like I wouldn't mind that whatsoever. Like, I know I'm thinking way outside the box here and probably a good, you know, 4% chance of that actually happening if we were playing that game. But
odds makers, yeah. It's pretty
I would love
low.
To see that.
I love the logic behind it, though. I mean, I see what you mean, that it would help with the just getting a little bit more eyes on the card. But I also know, I mean, yes, the NXT UK crowd are firmly behind Rhea Ripley, so she'd have a lot of support. I mean, it would be great, but I also think that the focus really should be on NXT UK as the brand. So even if it were to be on there, I don't foresee it being a headliner or anything like that, but I understand the logic, because it still allows you to have a platform to have the rematch. It's not necessarily with the same viewership as other NXT shows, so it probably won't have the same impact of Shayna losing. And you can get that rematch out of the way, so that way you can then just have Shayna go into the Royal Rumble without, you know, anything kind of looming over rematch-wise. But, you know, I mean, never say never, but probably not, Greg.
Never say never, but probably never. Yeah, that's fine. Never. We can talk probably best never. Card of the... Because I love me some Cardiff, TakeOver Cardiff, so we can make that a shit show topic for next week with the cards and what absolutely. We enjoyed and all that stuff, so...
Yes, well, speaking of... So we are going to be recording some Greg DeMarco hashtag Miranda super such good shit show pal... shows stuff within the next few weeks. So the hashtag Miranda show as its own entity will be taking a little bit of a hiatus, but it's because we are doing a super such good shit show pow, a few editions of that to end 2019. So stay tuned to thechairshot.com to listen to all the latest episodes of podcasts, but especially stay tuned for some upcoming shit shows.
Yeah, just the first, just January 1st. With Patrick not being available, we'll probably just do maybe two, maybe you know, fill the same spots that the Greg DeMarco show and the hashtag Miranda show usually fill. Just fill them with the hashtag Miranda and Greg DeMarco super such good shit show pal, and then we'll come up with a new schedule for the shit shows, because, well, the people demanded it, and so we have to do it.
Yes, we at thechairshot.com is a site for the people. So if the people like it, we're going to keep on rolling with it. And it saves Greg DeMarco and I a lot of time. So that helps us, pal, with, you know, moving on with our days. Speaking of, after this, I will continue on to my Christmas shopping and all of that. So I hope that all of you have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your first time, or if this is your second, fourth, tenth time listening to the Hashtag Miranda Show, I greatly appreciate it. And it's been an honor to be able to have this show, to be able to interact with all of you. A special shout out and thank you to my co-host, Greg DeMarco, the Great Oz, who's behind the board, pressing all of the buttons and keys, but also for being a wonderful co-host who does anything I say, or just shuts up when I tell him to, which, what a thing for. Because I let him play all the sound bites. He could play the sound bites here with only slight judgment.
You're welcome.
Don't forget, I am on social media. I am at the hashtag Miranda, hashtag spelled out, on Facebook and Instagram. Feel free to follow me on both platforms. There I have some fun content, pictures of ring announcing events that I am at, random pictures of me, random content, also information about upcoming or recently released episodes of the Hashtag Miranda Show and the Greg DeMarco Show. You can follow Greg on social media as well at Chairshot Greg on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow thechairshot.com at chairshot.com on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Same thing, all the latest news, wrestling news, highlights, opinions, analysis, all of the good wrestling stuff you can find at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And finally, don't forget, you can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get your own chair shot t-shirt. You can get it in tank top. You could get it in women's fitted. You could get it in regular t-shirt style, whatnot. But the most important, the best style is soft style. So do yourself, yes, do yourself a favor. Go ahead and do that. Again, happy holidays to everyone. Thank you so much for listening. And we will be with you next time.
You're welcome.